This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
I know you'll be alright, even when times get hard and you feel like you're in the dark. You will see just how beautiful life can be when you soften your heart. You can finally start to live your truth. Life.
I'm so excited to have my friend Sammy Eason on today. We met probably 3 or 4 years ago. I remember our first phone call very vividly. Like many, I was attracted to both her dry humor and one-liners that parallel deeply poetic captions where she shared her life struggles. Sammy shares her life unfolding, which is very different than the way most people share, which is never sharing the hard stuff at all, or only once it's all nicely tucked away and figured out. Sammy, you're not the typical influencer. You're really more of an artist, and I've watched you hone your craft of articulating life through photographs and captions over the years. On the exterior, since you guys are listening through podcasts, Sammy is covered in tattoos. Like, I feel like you're like 80% tattoos, right?
You're making me cry, but yeah.
You're crying already? You give off a really harsh outer shell, but the reality is you're such a softie.
I know, people think I'm like scary.
Yeah, but they don't, because like we see your hard exterior, but then there's like this softness to you, and I think that's why so many people are attracted to you. You legit set the trends, like from fashion to parenting to home decor to coffee pours. Whatever you do, it's effortless and cool. Instagram is a platform where we can just scroll and scroll, but Sammy's words and images pull you in so deep that they're worth the stop. And the reason I so passionately wanted Sammy as a guest, not just because she's my friend, is because she truly embodies what it means to stay soft when shit sucks and the world wants you to harden. In her young age, she has experienced so much, from loss to deception to divorce in the middle of a pandemic. We're going to get right into it. So without further ado, Sammy, it's so good to see your face on video. We never get to see that face on your Instagram account live.
Video is very off-brand for me.
Yeah, you keep us really in suspense about your voice. You rarely turn the camera back to you, which is what makes you an atypical influencer. So it's so good to see you. I don't think I've seen you since my wedding last year, where that was so special for me that you and Chris came and I got to spend some quality time with both of you. So a lot has happened, though, since November of last year, since I saw you.
Where would you like to start?
Well, I just want to start by saying that you're actually one of the most unique people that I know. And I want to just ask you how it makes you feel for me to say that. To say, like, you're different, but in a positive way. Because I think unique says something different than different.
I feel like I'm getting better at, I don't know if that's a compliment, but, like, taking those things in. Because, I don't know, when people say things about you, it's like, I don't ever want to come off as, like, arrogant. But it makes me feel good, especially right now. Because I've just, you know, divorce especially has made me compare a lot. And I think this year for many puts you in a tough place, and it's hard to see good things about you, about yourself when you're struggling. And so it's nice.
You've always been unique. It seems like in your, how old are you, by the way? Let's just start with that.
28.
28. Okay. So this podcast is going to be different from others because I actually want to start with right now and then work our way back into get to know how Sammy became the woman that she is, the woman that I look up to. And I honestly feel like you have lived 400 lives in 28 years, from drug overdose to hip surgeries or hip replacements, right?
Yeah.
To loss of a parent and the current events, plus so much more in between. Before this year, or before June of this year, I should say, you always showed up and you shared stories in real time, whether it was about fights that you were having with your husband, Chris, and how you made up, or filling our feeds with adorable pictures of your boys and giving us a lot to think about or just laugh on. But for an entire month of this year, you went dark on us. And I want to just start by talking about that break. Where did you go and what happened?
I think I had been feeling overwhelmed for a long time in the winter, and I pushed through a lot of that. I don't know if it was, I think a little bit was postpartum depression. And then with Chris traveling so much, it was like, it just got harder and harder. And then on May 6th, I found a bank statement, which I just didn't feel right about it. And there was a reason that I opened it. I don't know why. It wasn't because I was suspicious, but it was definitely intuition. And I had confronted Chris about it. And I just said, what is this? And he gave me an answer, and I didn't really sleep well that night. And I kind of just had that beating on me.
Before you even go further about the answers you got, you and Chris have been together for how many years?
August would have been our 6th year. Wedding anniversary.
Right. So 6 years. And if you're new to Sammy, you have 2 babies and another baby on the way, right?
Yes.
So May 6th, you find this statement and like a dog or two. Like your house is like full of heartbeats. There's 3 dogs.
But not anymore.
Okay. How many dogs now? Any? No dogs?
I have one.
One dog. Okay. So your house at the time is 3 dogs, 2 babies, 1 baby in your belly, you and Chris. That's a lot of things kind of going on there.
A lot of energy.
It's a lot of energy and a lot to keep up with. And I want to kind of get into what unfolded and what your intuition led you to. But I also want to say, as somebody who has met Chris and, you know, this is a very sensitive topic, that my goal is to respect him in this interview, recognize that he's not here to tell his side, and just say that there's so much that meets the eye. So we're just going to talk about what happens. But I think that it's easy to kind of like characterize somebody as crappy, but there's so much more to Chris and Sammy.
He's not a bad person. There's no hatred.
Where did your intuition take you on May 6th?
I had wanted to separate right before this happened because the way we were living was not sustainable. He was working until 4 a.m. and coming home and, you know, not really prioritizing health, which I think a lot of people listening to this can say that that's important, like sleep and nourishment. And the people you surround yourself with, like this community on Instagram, is people are in tune with that. And I was kind of pushing that with him for a while. I was wondering if this was just it. And I wanted to separate and have the house be like, I couldn't have someone coming and going at 4 a.m. anymore and then traveling on top of it. And we just weren't in a good place. So I had kind of already told him that I was feeling that way. And then I found what I found, and I kind of pulled teeth for the entire month of May. And that's why I went dark on Instagram, because I didn't even open the app. I didn't delete it from my phone, but I just had never needed to be more present. And I'm very grateful that that wasn't like it's my main source of income, but I'm grateful that that didn't like derail us in any way. However, it did derail us in other ways, because the internet is just a weird place and you don't know who's watching. And people do watch, and people will take advantage. And I think that is a side to social media that people don't see. I think when you get on Instagram and you see a profile and they have all these followers and they're doing all this stuff with their lives, you kind of think it's all like awesome and fun. But some people will see that as opportunity.
I think it's an important message, and how quickly I even feel like when I show up to my account, like, it's generally a safe place. But so I know when things are off. I know when eyes are on me that shouldn't be on me. And obviously, I haven't gone through the gravity of things that you've gone through. But I think it's a take-home message to always protect yourself. That doesn't mean don't be vulnerable, but protect what matters, which is your family. So I just want to back up for a second as your friend of 3 or 4 years. What's really interesting, if you don't know the world of Instagram, I guess, is a lot of us influencers, quote unquote, form real friendships that, you know, Sammy, you and I have spoken almost every day with the exception of really this year. We kind of, you had a lot going on. I gave you your space. But before pandemic life, you know, we probably chatted 80% of the days of the year for the past 900 days.
Yeah, without even meeting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good point. Without even meeting. We met one time before my wedding. But you might think that our conversations are, oh, like, should I post this today? Or this brand wants to work with me. But I can't speak for others, but our friendship and many of the friendships that I form on Instagram have nothing to do with Instagram. You become my family. And you know, we share intimate parts of our life in a way that's even more safely than maybe talking to our friends because or family because they're more partial to the things in our life. So from the beginning, you shared with me issues at home with Chris. And, you know, there were some red flags early on. You already had Isaac when I met you. And the next thing we knew, you were pregnant with MJ. And as a friend, we kind of have to, I could say this kind of in hindsight now, like it was a difficult way to show up as a friend that you've never met. We talk about serious stuff. We only know Chris through the lens of what we've heard, which is good and bad, but there's some red flags there. And at the same time, you're now pregnant with your second child. So I just want people to understand that our friendships that we have online with our friends are just as real as the friendships that we have in person, where it's not my place to say, Sammy, you shouldn't be pregnant right now. It's my place to support you as a friend, which means the way I spoke about Chris and gave you advice also had to pivot a little bit.
I'm thankful that my friends are not like, none of them have like bashed him because he is the father of my kids and they come first now. And so I feel very grateful. That's rare to like meet someone online and then you have this friendship with them and then you tell them all the stuff they're going through and they're, I don't know. I feel like some of the friendships I've made on here are gold. Just
gold.
Such gold.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, at my wedding, it was super interesting because I have my family and my friends that know nothing about my Instagram life. And, you know, they see my friends as quote unquote influencers. They roll their eyes, whatever. But when they came together, my real life friends and my, you know, influencer friends who came, you, Katie Lemon, Sama, Rachel, you know, so many amazing people, all of a sudden my home friends got it. Like, you guys are such a special group of people that I'm so glad I met along the journey.
Well, it's almost like that's why you like choose those friends,
right?
Because like you can connect on Instagram because it's nice to send someone a message who's like doing the same thing you're doing and be like, does this make sense? Or do you like this? Or like artistically. But then the real connection comes from it's just a tool.
Right. But you became a household name for my family, my sister-in-law, Lauren, you know, my operations manager, Amaya, my girlfriend, Shayna, who you guys wore the same dress to my wedding.
Gosh.
And when you went dark, like, all my real life people, if you will, were like, is Sammy okay? Is Sammy okay? What's going on with Sammy? Not out of a nosy point of view, but because we were worried. You know, you always shared so much with us. I knew something big was going on. But again, it's that boundary of I don't want to step too far because you've got a third baby on the way now. I know something maritally is going wrong, but how do you guide a friend with all this going on? And the beautiful thing is you guided yourself. So on June 13th, your birthday, I believe you returned or right around that time. And I'm just going to read your caption here. You said, today I'm 28. I was unsure whether or not I should share something uplifting or positive or the current reality of how I'm processing life. So I'll do both. Today I'm entering my 28th year married and pregnant in a pandemic, knowing I'll walk out divorced, a single mom of three. In my 27th year, I learned the right thing to do is not always going to be the easiest thing to do. I learned that people can change, worse, but also for better. I learned that our purpose changes and that it's not our purpose to be someone else's purpose. I learned that rebirth is possible and it's beautiful. I learned that good parenting doesn't have a uniform, that kindness and compassion will overrule anger and fear. I learned that intuition is our most momentous instinct and that trust within ourselves is the best way to rest easily at night. I learned that honoring self-respect is the only way to undoubtedly be free in this world. Today, I feel peace, ready, and happy. So I just want to ask you, how does it feel for me to read your words?
Well, it's funny that you actually read that because tomorrow is October 1st and my due date is the 18th. So it's like, that was like the beginning for me. And now this is the end. And it's definitely been bittersweet. It's weird to like pregnancy. This is the best shape I've been in physically. And I think that that was like, that was the universe being like, we'll give you a break this time.
What do you mean the best shape physically?
Well, just with Isaac, I was very unhealthy. And
so you're saying your physical strength is contributing to your mental strength?
Yeah. And like with Maddox, I wasn't on bed rest. And so now I have two kids and I'm pregnant. I'm going through all this shit. So it's like, it was nice that I wasn't able to.
Only you could find.
Go on my walk every day.
I'm laughing because only you could find the silver lining, the light in the darkness.
That being said, though, like being pregnant during this summer was, I didn't really have to do much with the kids. Like there wasn't anything to do because of COVID. So that was a blessing too.
Most people in your shoes, Samantha, would not be able to see what you're seeing. So there's something about the way you're able to catch your breath and count what you have, which is like woven into every Instagram post that you have, which I know for those of you who haven't checked out Sammy yet, like you're like, what's an Instagram post have to do with this? But oh my gosh, yesterday I went back and read, I mean, every time I read you post something, I'm pulled in from the photo to the caption, but going back and reading your journey and on your blog, I like was so engulfed in your universe and able to see that literally in every piece of writing that you have, and it's not forced. This is you. You're sharing the difficult, but there's this glimmer of like everything's gonna be okay. And I think that's why, of course, I'm attracted to you and your being.
Sometimes I like, especially when people are like thinking of you, which is a very nice thing to say. I always hope that people get that I'm like, I'm not an expert. And I guess that hopefulness is like, I've never done this before.
In another podcast that I listened to you and you said in life's hardest moments, you try to be loving. And if you can be loving in those moments, you'll sleep better at night. And there's this constant theme in many of your writings about sleeping better at night. And as somebody who struggles with sleep, and I don't have a quarter of your problems, you have found a way to sleep at night, it sounds. And I don't know if you even remember this, but in 2018, you wrote about cheating on your blog. Had Chris cheated before? Was that in relation to Chris or a different ex?
I had written that from previous experiences.
Got it. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people have experienced cheating. So it was a general cheating
piece. Well, I will say that, you know, before Chris and I did get married, we lived a very, I don't know if scandalous is the right word, but there was a lot of drugs and there was a lot of partying. And when you do those things, things happen.
But in that post about cheating, which was not related to Chris, or maybe it was a little bit related to Chris, I know you've been in other not so good relationships as well.
I remember I wrote that feeling, I think, because the betrayal, I think cheating and emotionally too, there's a disconnect and you can feel it. And whether it is physical or emotional, we all have this.
Like an intuition?
I mean, I had been cheated on in past relationships and in my past relationships, I had cheated. So there was that. But then there was also like, Chris was my first big relationship. Relationships are never easy. But then when you throw in the messy stuff of like lust and promiscuity and like all these things, it gets really fuzzy and confusing. And so I think when your relationship does start to go south, you're always wondering if the other person is like talking to someone or like, why are they not, like, why is there this disconnect?
Right.
I mean, it can go across the board. Like to the end, I felt like Chris was cheating on me with work, you know?
It's just an emotional availability and ability ability to be present has a, while love might be infinite, emotional availability is finite. And you know if that's being occupied. But you wrote, the cure for all hurtful things is love. It is the only way we overcome, move on, find peace, and grow. This life is special. Use it for good. And I feel like sometimes people just say things like that, or they say it in hindsight. But I truly believe that, you know, 2020, the year where things are just up in arms for everybody. But like I said to you the other day, like I texted you about something so stupid, and then I was like, I apologize to even bringing up something stupid to you, even though you were fine hearing it. Like, your stuff is so much more real and scary. And here you are living out that same 2018 lead with love to grow, to move on in that same way. So what is the current situation with Chris? And then let's move past Chris.
Well, so everything happened and I pulled teeth for answers until I got what I felt was honest and genuine. And then I kind of nurtured him for the summer.
What does that mean to nurture Chris?
Like, we used to go to the farmer's market every Saturday morning. It was like our family thing. He would work all week. He's never been a morning person. The 8 years that we've been together, cannot wake up. His mom will tell you this. Just such a solid sleeper. And so we just tried everything. He's like, throw a kid on me in bed and it'll wake me up. Or like, bring me a coffee and that'll wake me up. Like nothing. I mean, now we know, because that medication was just totally messing with him chemically. And then he was overworked, and then poor diet, and add alcohol and weed and whatever else. And it's just not good. So he decided to get sober. Well, I mean, after everything had come to the surface, I was like, you can't drink ever again. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the horror stories you hear too about custody and co-parenting, and it's very difficult and it's nauseating. And it made me, those first couple of weeks, I was just like, I thought I was going to die, because I could go through all this, but I don't want the kids to be
around that.
Oh my God. Like, the kids cannot, I'm not doing that.
This isn't your first experience with, you know, addiction and alcoholism. So you know where that can go.
Right. Yeah. And his dad was an alcoholic, and my dad was an alcoholic. His dad's still alive. My dad's gone.
So when you say that you nurtured him, though, was he living with you this summer, even after you decided to divorce?
No. So I already had a lawyer contact, and all month of May, I just kind of cried and did paperwork, and I served him at the end of the month. And then he was living at his warehouse, mm-hmm. where it's also an office. So, you know, it's not like he was sleeping on like cement, but it's not a place to live.
Yep.
You know, at first he was like really defensive, and it's like that whole thing where you're like, oh my God, are you just going to like pick up and run off? Or like, do you not care? Like, who are you? Mm-hmm. Like, it was like he was body snatched. And then the softness came, mm-hmm. and I'm not changing my mind. So it was very hard to watch, and it made him very, I had just never seen him so sad, and it broke my heart to see him like that. And so I mean, he was calling me at 3 a.m. and so I left. I said, you can't stay at the warehouse anymore. You have to come back to the house, but I can't be here. And some of the decisions he had made me not feel safe at home.
So when you nurtured him, though, he took the house, you left the house, and...
Yeah, it just unfolded. My friend, who's always had an au pair, yeah. her au pair had to go back to Australia because of COVID. She has a gorgeous home, yeah. and she had space for us. She said, come bring your crib in, the more the merrier.
Wow.
Me and the boys, we all slept in a room, and I kind of helped her. Her kids are older, but I helped,
I love
you know,
that.
With...
That's like...
You know, they were breaking curfew, and I was like, you know, I've always been a nanny before I was a mom, so it was like right up my alley, and she was working full time. So I kind of watched her house and helped her with her kids, and she gave us a safe space.
So most people in your situation right now would be just clinging to anger, because the way I feel about anger gives you something to do. It gives you the courage to keep going, to be sure that you're right, because the thought of them makes you so sick. But hope, you know, if Sammy's voice, your face, like, you're so soft about this. And you posted in July about a picture that Chris took on a special family trip that you went on. And you bring up the idea of feeling resentful and how you shift out of it. And I'll skip most of it, but you said, I write this with teary eyes. I have no hatred in my heart. It is more difficult to hate, especially now while growing another life. Hatred fuels fire, but not the kind that ignites you, the kind that burns you. Love fuels peace. I will always be grateful for the memories. We must never regret the memories. I feel like that sums up what Chris is to you, what Chris is to me, which, you know, we're talking about alcoholism and a lot of things that kind of take you down before, you know, it's not the intention. People might think that all this is intentional if they don't understand, or, you know, you're responsible for your actions. But with alcoholism, it's a disease. And you and I both know how a friendship or a parent with alcoholism, your words, you've said before, it's an endless disappointment. But you spoke about your dad. You said even in their darkest moments, they're still a hero. You still love them for who they are. So just to kind of wrap up Chris and how beautiful it is that your friend let you kind of move in. And that's kind of the vibe that 2020, 2021 has for you. You know, lean on me, lean on your friends. It's so beautiful to be able to kind of have that for you. And I think I know the answer to this question, but is there someone in your life that taught you how to find this softness, this compassion, and kind of showed you what that looks like?
Yeah, my mom.
Your mom. So yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about your mom? I mean, I know that you mentioned that you're Christian Scientist. What does it mean to be Christian Scientist?
Christian Science is not Scientology. It's just mind over matter and choosing to heal with thought and using teachings from the Bible to like practice now. And I mean, growing up, I was never vaccinated. I never went to the doctor. You know, I fractured my hip and walked on it broken.
I was going to say, let's just to really like drive that point home. As your mom and dad were both Christian.
Oh, it was my mom.
Your mom.
But my dad kind of let her he kind of knew how important it was, her practice and her.
And they've been together since like high school, right? Were they high school sweethearts?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they would have been married for like 30 something years.
Okay, so growing up, no vaccines, that means like no pediatrician.
Never.
So you break a bone, you don't go to the hospital.
Well, some do.
Okay.
Some Christian
but
scientists
you,
do. Not, you hear those crazy stories like, oh, this kid died and the parents neglected them. That's like, that's not how it goes.
Right.
Which I cannot speak. I don't know those people personally.
Right.
But like, for me, that was not what it was. I got x-rays.
Okay.
My uncle is an orthopedic surgeon. Okay. I had like a lift in my shoe. We did everything. There was also kind of a debate where like I was still growing. So like, do you want to do a hip replacement on a 13-year-old? Because her body's still growing. So it just, there was just a lot of moving parts.
And but you had the hip because you were an ice skater, right?
Yeah, I fell on it on a jump, breaking it.
Gosh. Okay. So your mom is Christian Scientist, if I said that right. And what I thought was really interesting about that is that fear isn't allowed, but neither is disease or sin. So does that mean if you're sick or you break your bone, for the most part, like you pray your way out of it with thought?
Yeah, it's more or less like I don't practice Christian Science anymore. But this year, I actually just wrote something about this, how this was my healing. Like I always kind of was like thinking I was going to have this healing, but this is my healing. Because from day one with Chris, with all of this, it's like not being an alarmist. You know, your kid falls down, you don't go, oh my God. Like you just go automatically, you know, oh no, this is going to get cleaned up. This is going to be this way. It's like, I feel like I was just raised with my mom being like, no, this is how it's going.
Right.
I guess like manifesting, like modern day way to say it would be like, really, you're manifesting everything.
And I know that as you practiced as you were raised, I think Chris is when you kind of said, okay, I'm going to bring medicine in, but I'm also going to keep the teachings. I think that's what like really makes you. When I really understand Christian Science, when I look into Christian Science, it's like this glimmer of light that we keep talking about, like sounds like the Christian Science that your mom brought into your life.
What it is. Yeah.
And so I feel like that's where you're getting your well of strength.
Oh, absolutely. And she like, there was never any, I mean, she came over one of the first days and talked to him and hugged him. She wasn't like, oh my God, F him, burn his shit, blah, blah, blah. You know, she's like, no, we love him. We love him through this.
And I love how that's like so natural and ingrained to her and now passed on to you.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK. LASIK.com.
Okay. I love Walker Hayes. He's amazing. He's so fun, such a great entertainer. And that's why I'm so excited that JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. The Walker Hayes for JCPenney collection is an upbeat playlist of instant classics with laid-back appeal and down-home vibes. As a dad of 7 kids, he knows exactly what fathers want and need when it comes to their style. This collection reflects his casually cool styles with outdoor-inspired details and versatile colors. Perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th, just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You credit many of your morals to Christian Science, but you also say, I believe, I've heard you say, that it's one of the reasons that your dad struggled. Is that a fair statement or no?
Yeah, he didn't have my. So here's the other thing, like with having babies, like I put my mom in labor for 42 hours. She delivered me at home on the living room floor. So none of that. And but she is very supportive of me.
Who cuts the umbilical cord? Is there, there's no one there?
A midwife. There's a midwife. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
But she's so, you know, I want to have my kids in the hospital. She doesn't care. I have an epidural. She's fine with that, because her thing is that you have to follow, like if you're going to do the holistic approach, you got to do your research. Like, so her whole thing with having kids growing up and not taking us to the doctor and not getting us vaccinated but she has someone to answer to. She has God. She has her backup, like something she believes in. She's not just like winging it and being like, oh, well, I just like, I don't agree with medicine. So like, I'm not doing it.
Right.
There's thought behind it. So that's kind of her thing. And so my dad was just, he didn't like going to the doctor, I guess, but he didn't want to do the prayerful work. He didn't want to read the lesson. He didn't want to go to church. He didn't really want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you have to pick, you know, if you're going to go have your kids at the hospital, you listen to the doctor. And she always said that. She said the second the midwife, I think towards the end with me, the midwife was like, if she doesn't come soon, I feel more comfortable going to the hospital. So she's like, you listen to that person, or you listen to that power, or you listen, you pick a guide and you go with them. And of course you use your intuition along the way. You're not just like blindly following whoever that is. But so my dad was just, you know, he wanted to pick and choose. He wanted to take this medicine, but it just.
So how old were you when you learned about his alcoholism?
I was young. I was in middle school. I had 8 or 9 solid years of him just being like super dad. And then that quickly turned into him. We ended up moving into my grandpa's basement in one town over. And then my dad was like passed out in his truck all the time in the driveway and just not interacting. And then, you know, ups and downs, I kind of ditched him for a year when he was sick, which I regret now. I didn't really talk to him for a long time because I was like
sick with what?
Well, his alcoholism had brought on diabetes, heart failure, varicose veins, which is what I have from pregnancy, but you can also get them from diabetes. So it brought on all these health problems and he just kind of checked out.
So him and your mom never separated, right?
They separated.
They did. Okay. And sometimes you refer to your dad as Rich when you write about him.
That's his name.
Why do you call him Rich and not like dad when you write about him?
I don't know. That's a good question.
You don't know? Did you not realize that you do that?
No.
Do you know when you started doing that, I guess would be the question?
No. It's just very fitting for his personality, I guess. I guess it, like, aside from dad.
Is Rich the version of him you would say that, like, because you whenever you speak about your dad, it's you might mention the alcoholism. It seemed then you related more to him than your mom. Obviously now your mom.
Well, yeah, I thought he was the cool parent. He didn't care what I did.
Right.
And I thought that was the first thing that I wrote that you reached out to me. I will never forget this. You're like, this is your story to tell. And you have, it was like the first, it was, I started my blog and that was the first thing I published. That was when we first connected, you know, cause I wanted to party and I wanted to do all these things I wanted to do. And my mom was at home, like.
So is, when you think of that version of your dad, is that Rich or is that dad?
Yeah, that's Rich. It's kind of cool. Like I do what I want.
But interestingly, like even though he was the party dad, I think, I don't know if it was in that blog post or I think you've written in some publications before where you came home from boarding school. So I guess that's middle high school and he's passed out in a bathtub and he's crying. I just want want other people to also just understand alcoholism. But he said to you, I can't even make love to mom anymore. And you write it, holy shit, this was not what I signed up for.
Yeah, that was like the first moment that I was like, oh my God, I can't. Well, so what happened was I went to boarding school. I came back. My dad was building this. We had tore down our house that I grew up in, and he built this huge mansion in Wellesley, Massachusetts. And he was living there. And so I told my mom, I said, I want to go stay with dad.
Right.
And she said, okay, well then go do that. And so I lived with him. I slept on the floor and he slept on a couch in front of the TV, you know, in this huge house that had no furniture, wasn't ready yet. And it was really sweet. And then that happened that night and he ordered us pizza and he was like trying to open something. He almost cut his, like, it was bad. And I was like, ooh. And then all my friends started to be like, what do we do? It was just weird. It was the first time that I ever had to like really deal with like a drunk parent. And I was like, oh shit. And so then we go into the downstairs master bathroom and there's three empty bottles of gin in the bathtub. And he's like, he's saying all this stuff to me. And then he passes out or whatever. I don't really remember. All my friends leave and I call my mom and I was like, I don't know what to do. And she was like, you want to live with him? You deal with it. But it wasn't in like a bitter, like it was purely like learning. She was always like, of course, if I had called her back sobbing and was like, this is getting scary, she would have been there in a heartbeat.
I think we'd understand your mom well enough that we know that that's not her vibe. But there's a moment that, you know I've had it. And when friends have it, I feel like I kind of coach them through it. Mine was early on. Yours was certainly early on. But the moment when you realize that your parents, they don't have the answers and the role reverses. And yours was at, I think, age 13.
Yeah, 14.
So at 14 years old, you love Rich and you see him struggling and your mom says, you know, not in a wrong way, not in a bad way, like, you know, F him, you got it now. But she says like, okay, this is your life. And, you know, instead of hating him, you love Rich. Rich is cool. Rich is fun. Rich has a carefree personality. You take it on to try and heal him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I thought I came back from boarding school and I was like, you know, you're the hopeful daughter. And I was like, I can fix him.
Is there a moment when you realized that you couldn't?
Yeah. From there, it was pretty much just downhill. I kind of swore him off for a little bit. And then we got close right before he passed away. And then that was that.
How old was he when he passed away?
He would have been 56, yeah.
And you were how old?
I was 18.
You were in college?
Yes.
Do you have your own personal rules with alcohol as a parent right now? Obviously, you're pregnant right now. And
I got a handle. I had Isaac and then that was it for me. And I had a couple bad nights where I had too much, but the partying definitely was off the table. And my mom, being the only person who would really babysit, she would never babysit if we were going to go out and drink. So that wasn't even a thing. And very few people have watched my kids besides my mom or Chris's mom,
okay,
who is sober. She's like the saint. She's not religious, but we're both so thankful that our moms are like, we don't touch the stuff. So after having Maddox, we would go to dinner. She's fine if you have like a glass at dinner, it goes with the meal. Mm-hmm. Drinking regularly is not happening.
I know you went to college for a little, but you didn't finish college, right?
Correct.
Was there a reason for that?
I went to art school in New York mm-hmm. and my dad passed away and I finished the year at Pratt Institute. And then that summer we moved to St. Louis. We picked up and left Boston so my brother could go to this Christian Science school here.
Got it.
And I transferred to University of Missouri. Small art school where your teachers watch you like a hawk to huge university where everyone parties and there's 400 kids in your class. Forget it.
Yeah. And was that for art too or no?
Well, yeah, but I had to do all these core classes and I wasn't even doing photography. So I just, that was not happening.
Okay. So then you met Chris. And did you have your own journey with drugs at any point? I know that there was an overdose at least once.
Yeah, that happened after college.
That was after
college. That happened when Chris and I were dating. Maybe we weren't getting.
A lot of the people I know, like a lot of like the drugs and the alcohol happened before they met their husbands or their the fathers of their kids. But you went through a lot of this with Chris, right? Like together.
I was, I think, towards the end of that. Like I didn't want to do it, but we were still going out. We went to a music festival and he was older than me. So just able to just like do more, you know, like he could like get a hotel room and like, mm-hmm. and then I was like, try this drug. Let's do this. Let's do this.
Was anything off limits? Any drugs that you won't do or that you wouldn't do?
Oh my God. I mean, I've never done heroin or like meth.
So what type of drugs are we talking about?
Coke, ecstasy, Adderall, Xanax.
Got it. And none of this as a parent, though.
No.
That Sammy's gone. So
I would die. I think if I took any of that, I would literally just like collapse on the floor and die. It's crazy to think that you put that in your body and you can like wake up the next day.
And the concoction usually that it entails too. Like the body is chemistry. It's we feel so invincible as when we're young. So when you left college, you're with Chris, and the thing that people need to understand about you is that like I don't have this in the same way. I might have it in a different way, but you have a creative itch. Like you are an artist of many kinds, from visual to a writing artist, an author. Did you feel a void when you left college of how to fill that?
Yeah, well, I think that's what that was, because I couldn't channel that energy anywhere at school. And then I was like, I don't know what I'm doing, because I was so happy at Pratt and I never even did that well in high school, grade wise. And so I think I was just really lost. And, you know, Chris worked for his dad's company at the time and was making good money. And we just kind of had fun and just did whatever we wanted.
At some point, were you like, I miss art? I miss my purpose?
Yeah. But then I was nannying for a job. And I just remember driving home from this woman's house one day. And I was like crying. And I was like, I want to be a mom.
Oh, wow.
It was almost like I knew that that was going to like save me. I was like, if I don't do this now, and we had already been married at that point for a couple months.
Being a mom is so core to who you are. And it's the one thing that seems to save you. On the surface, someone might think that's an escape. But there's something about I've watched you go through two pregnancies now, almost two complete, and you turn so deeply inward when you're growing a baby that it's not an escape. It's the opposite of escape. It's like the most looking at yourself in the mirror and being honest with yourself that is very easy to chalk up to, oh, she just had a baby to try and save her marriage or to not deal with her problems, but not the pregnancies that you have, because they give you some sort of strength to be your best Sammy, who happens to be a mom. And it's an interesting distinction that I've never seen before in my life. So watching you as a mom is just the coolest thing to me, because it's so natural to who you are, yet you're 28 years old. You're about to have your third kid by 28. I posted a picture on my Instagram yesterday of a photo of Maddox drinking eating from your boob. How do you say that? Eating? Feeding?
Nursing, yeah.
And it's so beautiful, because there's a million times where you will talk about your, what do you call your boobs? Like tube socks?
Oh yeah, there's many names for them.
Yeah, Sammy's always making jokes about the shape and the direction of her boobs. You know, at 28 years old, this photo, he's like attached to your nipple, your breast is being pulled. And while you don't look like Pamela Anderson, right? Like the typical hot lady in America, whatever. I mean, like 20 million years ago, but whatever, she came to my mind first. Like there's probably a lot more current examples.
Yeah, the whole, like the round, everything's round. And
everything's perky. Everything's whatever. It is literally the most drop dead beautiful photo of a woman I've ever seen. And from your toes to your knees, you've got these varicose veins that you show us. From your knees to your hips, you have a pretty big scar from surgery. Then you're growing a belly that we've seen, and then your boobs have these like natural, you laugh at them, but everything about like you as a woman is beautiful. And yet, you know, I talk a lot about body stuff. Like, it's not what we've been told is beautiful, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There, of course you're beautiful, but like what we've been quote unquote told, like you're just so natural and radiate. And I hope that comes across as a compliment, because it is.
Well, that's nice, because those are the things that it's hard sometimes when you go, oh, I want to wear a dress, but look at this. Or
like, we started this podcast, you've lived 400 lives, and just about every facet, and we didn't even get into a lot of what you've dealt with. Like, you left with a marking, if you will, like from growing a child, from having a hip surgery, from whatever. And they tell your story beautifully. And I wonder if more people allowed their life marks, if you will, to show, if that's what we would just see as obvious beauty, because you just radiate that.
Thank you. It's interesting that you say that, because I think that's part of the reason why I've never felt embarrassed by those quote unquote flaws, because Chris, he's not the guy that's like, oh, gross, she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. He's like, wow, you're growing a baby. You're like, I'm 10 times more attracted to you. And the veins don't bother him. And the boobs, they don't bother him. He's like, that's age. Age is beautiful. And not that I'm thinking about dating anytime soon, but I have never felt so vulnerable as like someone else maybe at some point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is all me.
Yep.
And it's not changing. I'm not getting a boob job.
Right.
So I'm not getting these veins removed. What's that going to look like? It's weird.
I don't worry about that for you. Will it be today or tomorrow? Probably not. Does it need to happen? No. But you're so living your truthiest life. That's why you had here. That's what radiates out of you. And that's what people want to be around. That's what people say. Yeah, she's got 3 kids. I'm up for the job. Maybe we want to have one on our own. That's a conversation, whatever. But you meet somebody. I always say to my friend Carolyn, who you know, actually, who was beautiful, gorgeous, and single for the longest time. She has a boyfriend now. But I always say to her, every pot has its lid, but the more unique your pot is, the more difficult it is to find that lid that fits. So
interesting.
It's just about not maybe finding it in obvious places, which she has.
Well, I kind of felt that way about you after going to your wedding and learning so much about you and hearing all the speeches and this and seeing you sing. Yeah. And I was like, what?
Yeah. And, you know, I too have a husband that, well, similar to Chris, that all the insecurities that I have, he doesn't see. When I look my ugliest, he thinks I look my prettiest. And it's something to say about a confident man, too, who's able to provide a sense of safety for us to flourish. And while Chris may have provided some non-safety things for you, he did provide a safety for Samantha Eason to become Samantha Eason over these past 6 years, well, 6 years married, more years. So there all these moments kind of happen for a reason. So speaking of your name, by the way, you have changed your name on Instagram a bunch of times. I think when I met you, you were Sammy Eason, then Sammy Jane Eason, to now Samantha in person.
Yes.
I might have missed even a change there.
No, I think you're right. Well, I changed it the first time because someone said a video and because I had two Y's,
right,
because Sammy Eason was Eason, yeah, and they thought my last name was Eason.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I thought that was
right. And we had asked a bunch of people and they were like, yeah, that's your last name. And I was like, oh, no. So then I just did Sammy Jane Eason because my family will call me Sammy Jane. And then part of me wants to have the same last name as the kids. But
well, Samantha in person I love, but somebody who often changes their name on Instagram, who's a public figure like you are, might think that you don't know who you are. You're always flip-flopping. But to me, every time you change your name, I feel like you're taking a layer off. You're becoming even more yourself. And I'm inspired by that, right?
Yeah, you're right. But I also feel like I get really creatively obsessed with something. And then 2 weeks later, I'll be like...
Right. But most people are too afraid to make a change. They'd rather it become stagnant because it's known. And, you know, what if I lose followers? Or what if I, you know, change in any way. But when it comes to Instagram, most people are really afraid to do it. Or they're flip-flopping all over the place because they're freaking confused. But you're not confused. You know what you like, and you always go for that, whether it's changing the paint color in your home 4 times before it's right. Like, you see the world in a certain way, and then you realign everything around you to make sure that it is properly reflecting what you see.
That's cool. I hope people stick to that, because that's something that I've been like, you know, we had the 3 dogs. Money has nothing to do with this, but your life is customizable, and people think that it's not. You know, when you bite off more than you can chew, that can be not good.
I love that. Life is customizable. I don't think people realize.
Well, here's the thing. When you go to a buffet, and I had to say this to Chris a lot as like an analogy, kind of, because he used to do this. He'd put all the shit on his plate. And then that's like kind of how he grew up, I think. You just overload your plate and then you figure out how to eat it all. You don't go to a buffet and put all the food from the buffet on your plate and sit down and go, well, shit, now I have to eat this food. You go up and you say, okay, what do I want? What can I eat? And then if you are still hungry, you go back and get more.
Super curious to my listeners. Like, let us know if you eat like Chris at a buffet or Sammy at a buffet. I used to be Chris. Now I'm Sammy.
Chickens and thirds, yeah. But like, you can't do it all. You can't.
It does say something about your approach to life or your mindset more than you may think. Okay. So to the outside world, your words, they might seem dark, but they're really not dark. They're heavy. They're real. But in almost every Instagram caption, you give us that light. You even posted this year on your 6th wedding anniversary, which I'm pretty sure anybody listening here, if you were had your third baby in your belly, the last thing, and you're, you know, mid-divorce, the last thing you want to do is show up on your anniversary and talk about a marriage that isn't. Most people would gloss over that. Or if they did speak about it, they would express maybe like shame about how they failed. But you go on to talk about how you're not celebrating, but you are settling into the new life of co-parenting versus parenting. And you write, "It's okay. It's all going to be okay. That's what I tell myself each night before bed, when I sleep alone and shed tears of both grief and relief. The marriage is broken, but the partnership lives on. The kind of partnership that focuses on the lives we've made together. The kind where we're selfless in fresh ways in order to make them feel the most comfortable. Because they are what is worth honor. No kind of separation can take away the beauty and light that already has been born. Always look for good on hard days. It is there and it is waiting for you." And that is the third Sammy, Samantha in person caption that I've read where you talk about going to bed.
Weird. I just wrote something this morning and I wrote that, and I don't think I know that I do.
Okay, but then the weirder thing that I'm literally bugging out about, because your house has been featured in St. Louis Magazine. Your house is perfection. You just got your first bed.
I did. I just got my first bed.
Like, I am freaking out about the fact that you've been sleeping on a mattress all these years?
Yeah, on a box spring. The house is 100 years old, and we got this king-size Tempur-Pedic after my hip replacement in our old apartment. Okay. And with new construction, there's space. And so this house, there's 4 fireplaces. And so in the master, the 2 rooms that we've moved between, they're smaller.
So you had a king-size mattress, but the bed would make it too big to fit in that room with a king-size bed.
Yeah, if you've got a bed frame, you can't even walk.
Also, I'm like laughing at you, but we bought our house in February and we still don't have a bed. So I'm living the box spring life too.
Oh, yeah.
But tying this into sleep, right? So now you're back in your 100-year-old house. Chris is gone. You switch to a queen size bed, maybe because you're a queen, and you have your own first bed.
I bought it with my own money, and it was so rewarding in many ways.
And I think metaphorically and literally, you're sleeping in the bed that you created.
Wow.
I spent a lot of time like deep in, you know, in some ways it's funny because you'd think there's so much to you, Sammy. And I was deep in the weeds of relearning and putting the pieces of timeline together yesterday when preparing for this. But it's actually very easy to follow because you're never talking about nothing. You go to your Instagram page, you might give us a recipe, but the next post is giving us like an intense insight into you. You go to your blog, it's the same. You don't write just to write. You don't write just for content.
I can't pick a topic and go, "Oh, I want to write about this." And that's something I struggle with because I love to write, and that's what makes me feel so happy. And then when I get to share it, that's like the other thing that makes me feel happy. And so when I can only write when I'm driving, which I don't, mm-hmm. and I can't do the voice memo. I tried
Same.
Sometimes I'll be driving with the kids and I'll get this thought and I pull the car over and I have to like jot down on my notes. Yep. Or when I'm walking on my walk.
So it's a meditative state where your inspiration comes from.
Yeah. And it's in the music. A lot of my playlists, those songs that are on my playlists are like special songs that I don't even know what they are, mm-hmm. but they come on Spotify and I'm like, I get a thought and it's just like it comes
right. And
it goes. And then that's done.
I love that you kind of have these like meditative places to go because you're always driving with your kids in St. Louis. And I totally relate to like, okay, I've got this thought, need to write it down or it won't come back. I mean, I have to like run to my bathroom where I keep my cell phone in the middle of the night to write down.
You have that too with your captions.
I do. And I, you know, you and I both are very comfortable, you know, living our truthiest lives, being vulnerable. But there's so much in between that, like, if you went to go learn about me, like, I'm posting content more regularly that kind of just has no meaning. Like, my point is the themes are all over. And you talk about going to sleep a lot. You talk about your dad and alcoholism. And I think there's even parallels between trying to fix Chris and trying to fix your dad. Like, it's all very in plain sight in some ways. Oh, my gosh. Just, I can't wait for one day for maybe you to turn your captions into a book or something, because every bit of it, like I said, is this not darkness, because you're not dark. You might see these tattoos and think that there's a hard exterior, or you might see your vibey pictures and think, oh, this is a little gloomy. Like, that's not it. There's light into everything that you do, and it provides us really with hope, like a head nod. Yes, like those are the words. So to transition a little bit, a couple of rapid fire questions for you. If you were a tree, what type of tree would you be?
A willow.
Ooh, so true, because you're like mothery and you go with the flow. Like Rich, your dad.
When I see them, I feel so calm. Like they're such a like a good tree.
They are, and they're mothering. Aren't they like a mothering tree? That
are. And Pocahontas was my favorite movie.
I really love that for you.
That tree is like the coolest.
I love that. I really love that for you. Like you've got movement, but you're strong in who you are. What type of pillow do you sleep with? Is it firm? Is it feather? Is it soft?
It's firm.
Tempur-Pedic?
Casper. Used to be Tempur-Pedic.
Okay.
I have the soft one for in between my knees.
Okay. Well, I hate feather pillows. So I just want everyone to, like if there's a feather pillow on my bed, I'm chucking it. So like, I just need to make sure my friends aren't sleeping with feather pillows. It's really just a friendship caution check it.
Okay. Yeah. No feather pillows here.
Okay. Don't favorite worry. Compliment you've ever received?
Maybe what you said today.
All right. And which part?
I don't know. I don't know that I remember.
Well, I made you feel good. And that's the beauty, actually. We might not remember what people say, but
unique.
We remember how
that's unique.
Unique. There it was. I said you're unique, which I believe you struggled with when you were young. So just for a little mind frame, like being different or unique versus now, what that means to you is pretty cool.
Yeah. And we talked about this the other day about Instagram. It's such a tricky place to be like, and I wrote something about this recently too, where it's almost like you don't have to choose, but because of having an audience and like all this stuff, it's like, okay, am I going to choose performance or am I going to choose expression? What are you going to do?
I thought that was interesting that you struggled with that, because I've always been a pretty big proponent of fuck the algorithm. Like I'm going to post what I want. If it gets 3 likes, like not going to separate that. So anyway, one trait you like about yourself.
The ability to overcome bitterness.
I think that's my favorite trait of you.
I hate that. It doesn't feel good.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's what people need to realize is bitter and anger are tangible, but they hurt. And like you wrote in that caption, like they create a fire inside of us, but not the type that fuels us forward, the type that burns us. I'm butchering your words a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't ignite you.
It burns you.
Fire is good. You know, when you have like a fire under your ass and you're like, ooh, I'm really inspired to get this done, or this makes me want to work harder. But the other fire is no.
And then my last question is, do you believe that everything happens for a reason? In the middle of 2020, a baby about to leave your belly, 3 kids, single-ish.
I believe in sequence and I believe in alignment. I do think everything happens for a reason, but I think that's falls on the cliche side where you can like kind of apply it to like whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think that I'm so grateful for this year, because I know what shifting feels like. The shifts are what make you realize that this shifted here, mm-hmm. for this to be aligned. Mm-hmm. And then that is sequence. Like the sequence of like how it plays out. It's this had to happen for this to move around, because if this didn't move around, this wasn't going to happen.
100% agree. And I think that's a much more intentional way to think about what I call everything happening for a reason. So thank you for that.
I think everyone kind of thinks that maybe.
I don't know if people recognize the sequence. And I think that kind of gives it a nuance that is important to kind of see, like domino effect type of thing.
Yeah.
I love that. All right, Sammy, you are a complete inspiration of what it means to live your truthiest life. I know that right now is far from the easiest time for you, but I thank you for truly showing us what it looks like to have a huge, soft, open heart, even while it's bleeding out. I love you so much. And everyone, go follow Sammy at, well, who knows what she's going to be by the time this podcast comes out, but hopefully she's at Samantha in person.
Oh my gosh. I love you and I miss you.
I love you.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.